SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Come back!
Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bustle them, and everybody else in between throwing it down. Sunday, Bloody Sunday has begun. Sirius XM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Radio Networks. We'll welcome our AM radio affiliates in a couple of moments. We got a full house here this evening. Jason B. Takafin will step up and in. We'll talk baseball with Jason. Mo Khan bats leadoff tonight. We'll talk football and more. We'll run the gauntlet with Mo Khan. Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano, throws it down with us in level three this evening. We also run the gauntlet with Babano. We get into some NFL futures, CFL, look ahead into week eight. Little NHL talk, get you caught to date with the big trade from Friday night. So Major League Baseball takes center stage over the weekend. It's getting real right now. We're a week away from the trade deadline right now. I guess 9 days to be exact. It's August the 2nd, so it's next Tuesday, not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday, which is always a debate. Well, if it's a next Tuesday, then it would be the upcoming one, right? No, not this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday. Major League Baseball trade deadline. And oh, yeah, Juan Soto and the Washington Nationals are actually in Los Angeles tomorrow. This week. So the Nationals are in Los Angeles, which pretty much just, you know, really puts him and the potential trade in the spotlight. Will he go to Los Angeles? I don't know. The Dodgers don't really leak things to the media. They just sort of do things, right? Like, remember last year, the Scherzer stuff and the Scherzer and Trey Turner, people thought it was San Diego and it was Los Angeles. So the Dodgers do a very good job of not letting you know what they are doing. But there's, you know, it's one of two things, obviously, in a sense that oftentimes when you don't hear anything, that's when something is actually in the works. And or maybe the Los Angeles Dodgers just think, you know what, we're already loaded. We're already killing it. What the hell do we need to add another $500 million to our payroll for? Like, as rich as they are, right, there's got to be a limit to how much they're going to spend on players. So I don't know. As it is now, to be honest with you, I thought that Soto would be a Dodger, but my gut is telling me, and I could be wrong, but I don't think he is. I think if the Dodgers were going to do this, they would have already done it. I think if they were going to do it, they would have already done it, knowing that someone eventually is going to step up and do this thing, right? You got about a week now. The thing is, it's complicated. It's, you know, it's a hell of a lot of money. You know, I don't care who you are, what business, like any corporation, man. Like, when you got to tell the owner, listen, sir, we're going to have to pay this guy $500 million. It's like $500 million, man. It's a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? I don't care. Even if you own a baseball team, it's still like, you're not going to, you know what I mean? You can't be giving every player $500 million. You know what I'm saying? And the Dodgers kind of are getting to this point here. Like, Mookie Betts makes a lot of money. Freddie Freeman makes a lot of money. Trey Turner is going to make a lot of money. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bustle them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. Sunday, Bloody Sunday, the Muddier 1090. In the house, ESPN Radio. We're throwing it down. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 159, and of course on the Sports Grid Radio Networks. We got a full house here this evening. Jason B. Takafin will join us, former minor league executive of the year, a three-time champion, will join us with the Toronto Blue Jay organization. We'll talk baseballs. The Toronto Blue Jays absolutely demolished and smashed the Boston Red Sox. The wheels falling off right now for the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox just absolutely have been pummeled, and so much so The Red Sox, it's been an historical problem. The last five games, they've been beaten by 54 runs over five games. It's the largest run differential in a five-game span in like 122 years. We have to go back to like 1901. The last time a team has been beaten up as badly as the Boston Red Sox have been over the last five games. And you don't want to panic over, you know, a three-game sweep. You don't want to panic about what the final score is, because really the final score is irrelevant when it's all said and done. But the Boston Red Sox are trending in the wrong direction right now. And the question will have to be at Fenway is, are they going to become sellers? I don't think they're going to be buyers. They're going to become sellers. And Red Sox fans, you know, are already displeased with the ownership group as it is right now. I think you could be more displeased in a week to come. The Juan Soto stuff continues. The drama continues to build. Juan Soto and the Washington Nationals are actually in Chavez Ravine, and they're taking on the Los Angeles Dodgers this week. Will the Dodgers pull the trigger? Will the Friars step up and in? There's an arms race going on right now as the trade deadline is around the corner. Jason B. Tackerfin steps up and in. Mo Khan bats leadoff tonight. We'll talk some football. XFL. XFL is back. The XFL has announced the eight cities that they will be returning to. Arlington, Texas. Houston, Texas. Orlando, Florida. Las Vegas, Nevada. San Antonio, the Alamo Dome. San Antonio, Texas. So you got three teams in Texas. Seattle, St. Louis, Washington, D.C. Those are your eight XFL teams. We'll go over this on the other side with Mo Khan. Notice no New York, no California. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
Sunday, bloody Sunday. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the busters, but everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. Ian Cameron will join us a little bit later on. We'll handicap some NFL football. Take a look at the Major League Baseball card tonight. Jason B. Tackerfin joins us. Three-time champion, minor league executive of the year with the Toronto Blue Jay organization. And we'll talk baseball with Jason. We got Mo Khan ready to step up and in and join us. A lot of stuff to get to. Max Verstappen. We gave it Verstappen. Verstappen wins the French Grand Prix. He gets back on track. Interesting, isn't it, that the last Grand Prix that he won was in Montreal. So I guess Verstappen likes the French-speaking Grand Prix. So we cashed the ticket. We cashed the ticket with Max Verstappen. There was a CFL game tonight, and we won. We won money, but we did lose with the total. It was a higher scoring game than we thought it was going to be. We're less than 2 weeks away now from the start of the National Football League preseason, and The Rock and the XFL announced the eight teams that'll be in the league earlier this evening. And I find it kind of strange, actually. I mean, why would you release this on a Sunday? I guess you could argue that now maybe it'll be talked about on the Monday sports shows, but I don't know, you would have been better off doing it on Monday then. You know what I mean? Like, seriously, like if I'm the XFL, done this tomorrow morning. And like they just sort of like, you know, just sort of drop this. Oh yeah, all right, here we are. There's eight teams. Let's bring Mo Khan in here right now. We'll go over the eight teams. And no team names yet. No team names yet. And in fact, Dwayne Johnson, aka The Rock, quote, "We've been working on cool new logos and innovative uniforms to match the dynamic and innovative vision of our league." So they don't have team names yet, but there's Arlington, Texas. Arlington, Texas, Houston, Texas, Orlando, Las Vegas, San Antonio, Seattle, St. Louis, Washington. You'll notice Washington is always in all these leagues, right? Like, you know, Washington's getting in. The Alliance team was pretty popular in Washington, actually. Like, they had something going on. St. Louis, they really support football in St. Louis. Every one of the leagues, too, like, they really supported the Alliance League. They were getting, like, the biggest crowds in the Dome in St. Louis. Seattle, I find it strange that they're in Seattle. Like, why? It's just, it's kind of strange from a geographic perspective. And listen, we're a Seattle guy. But I'm just saying, it's kind of weird. So, what, you're in Seattle, but you're not in L.A.? And they love the Seahawks there. The stadium is massive. I don't know. It just seems weird to me that Seattle is in the league. San Antonio, it isn't, because they don't have an NFL team. Las Vegas has a team. They don't know where they're playing. Every other team, they have the stadium. Las Vegas, I don't think they've worked it out with the Raiders to play in Allegiant Stadium. And they better play in Allegiant Stadium, because Sam Boyd Stadium sucks. Let's bring in Mo Khan right now. Mo, I want to go over to coaches as well. Always a pleasure. Mo Khan, yep. TSN Radio and more. Former wide receiver, Concordia University and more. Always a pleasure, Mo. How you doing, Mo?
I'm well. Yourself, Gabe?
Always a pleasure, Mo. Thanks for joining us. So I wasn't planning on, I wasn't thinking, yeah, tonight I'm going to lead off with the XFL tonight on my show. But whatever, they dropped it. They had their league drop tonight, and they announced the cities. What strikes me, number one, I'll tell you guys, listen to the coaches that they have. They've got some good coaches here, bro. So, like, they definitely, they're going to have, like, it's going to be real football. The Arlington coach is Bob Stoops. So, I don't know if they, I guess they're called Arlington instead of Dallas. They're going to be called Arlington. So, is Bob Stoops. Bob Stoops, Mo, seems to love these leagues. Not too much stress, gets paid some nice money. Wade Phillips will be the coach in Houston. Terrell Buckley, former FSU Seminole. Terrell Buckley, Orlando. He's the coach in Orlando. Rod Woodson, NFL legend, is the coach in Las Vegas. Hines Ward is the coach in San Antonio. Some Pittsburgh Steeler feel to this league. Jim Haslett is the coach in Seattle, and Anthony Becht is the coach in St. Louis, and Reggie Barlow is the head coach of the Washington franchise. But pretty distinguished list of coaches, and some guys getting their first crack at being a head coach. What do you think of the cities and the coaches, Mo?
Well, to go off of your first point on why they did it on a Sunday, I believe they want to avoid with tomorrow being unofficially the kickoff of NFL training camps, right? All the big hitters, the Bills, are going to kick off their camp. I don't think they want to be lost in that smorgasbord of the NFL with camps beginning. So they figure, hey, let's do it on a Sunday where there's nothing going on. We can get some publicity coming into this whole process and avoid the NFL training camp coverage that will begin tomorrow as of 9 a.m. tomorrow morning on the various networks. I think, Gabe, what's fascinating about these cities here is the fact that they didn't go to California or anywhere in New York State, New Jersey for their teams. And that's quite fascinating because the two biggest TV markets are where? New York and L.A. So I'll be intrigued to see how they play this out here with their contract with ESPN and how this can be promoted. But I think it's also unique to see that they've gone back to St. Louis, which was a great XFL city. And you made a point about Seattle. Seattle did well with their attendance with games at Lumen Field. So I think they want to go to established places that did well from a crowd perspective. And look, yeah. St. Louis and Seattle are two good spots for that. I'll be intrigued to see how the Texas trio does overall, and also with Orlando now in the fold compared to Tampa, let's see how they do. So I think they did find unique spots. And with Vegas, you're right, though. If they don't play at Allegiant Stadium, where are they going to play in Las Vegas? So it's going to be quite fascinating to see how this plays out for The Rock and how he preps for next February for this to play out.
There literally is only one other choice, and that's Sam Boyd Stadium, which that's UNLV's home, used to be UNLV's home stadium. And it's not even in Las Vegas. It's actually in Henderson, and it's out there. It's actually built like on a former garbage, it's like a dump land out there and stuff. Like, and it's fitting because the stadium is a dump. It's just this, like, I don't know, it's like a high school stadium. It's like a high school stadium in the middle of nowhere, built on like a former garbage dump or something like that. There's nothing around it. Like, you know what I mean? There's like, it's not like you can, you know what I mean? It's literally in the middle of nowhere. And they won't do well out there. It's interesting that no New York, because I was actually at the last XFL game in New York. It was before the pandemic.
Yes.
The New York Guardians. It was New York. Luis Perez was actually the quarterback. And he just signed, actually, with the Rams. Good for him. But it was in New York. But they were drawing, you know, listen, bro, they were getting like 14, 15,000 people, which isn't bad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. You're not going to get, but I guess, I think, I imagine, Mo, the taxes in both the states and then just the cost of operating, they probably figured it wasn't worth it. But it seems strange to me, as you stated, that especially with The Rock, like, you know, being the entertainer that he is, that he doesn't, that, as you stated, like, no LA, no. And, you know, to me, it wouldn't have to be like, you know, don't play at SoFi and stuff, but, you know, or somewhere in California. You know what I mean? You're telling me there wasn't, like, one place in New York as well or New Jersey? I don't understand why there's not a Jersey team. Like, that's another thing. Like, I don't get it. A New York Jersey team or California seems strange to me, Mo, but in the end, it's, you know, I think the league will do well because they're signed with Disney, right? And you look, guys, you look at the USFL, and the USFL did pretty well this year, right? The USFL was profitable. It got through the year. You heard the television network say after that, yeah, you know what? It was we made a profit on the league, and we'll show it. We'll air it again. They extended the deal. But now the ESPN did not promote the USFL at all, guys. Like, they basically just ignored it. And there's one thing, they are like strong competitors. Like, basically, like the XFL was trying to steal players from the USFL. The USFL put it in a contract. You had to sign a 2-year deal, and you can't jump. You can't play in both leagues type thing. So it'll be interesting to see this dynamic between the two of them. But ESPN's going to push the XFL, so I think it will be successful. More with Mo on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sunday, buddy, Sunday. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. Who was it in our chat, actually? Who had a good point, actually, said they should play Bishop Gorman. Play Bishop Gorman. Bishop Gorman actually is a nicer stadium than Sam Boyd Stadium. Bishop Gorman, football, high school football power in Las Vegas. Beautiful, beautiful stadium. But I don't think the XFL wants to play in a high school stadium. It's kind of a bad look. Playing in a high school stadium. Mo Khan kicking with us right now. Mo, I want to get to some NFL talk with you, unfortunately, speaking of the NFL, he hasn't played in the NFL, but he was drafted into the National Football League, John Mechie has been diagnosed with leukemia. Houston Texan rookie wide receiver John Mechie III announced Sunday that he's been diagnosed with a form of leukemia and will not play this season. Recently, I was diagnosed with APL, the most curable form of leukemia. I am currently receiving great medical care and I'm in good spirits, and I expect to make a recovery at a later point in time. As a result of this diagnosis, I will likely not be playing football this season. My main focus will be on my health and recovery. Thank you in advance for your support and well wishes. I cannot wait to come back stronger than ever. God bless. And we wish John Mechie the best right now. And Mo, you know, he had a heart issue when he was a teenager. He had the injury, of course, with Alabama. And right. Now this, man, he's dealt with a lot of adversity in his young life already, and it's too bad. But, you know, we wish him the best. But, man, he's a hell of a football player when he's on the field, too. But right now his health comes first, obviously. But sad story for John Mechie, but it sounds like he's in good spirits and it is curable.
Yeah, and, you know, his football family, his brother plays in the CFL as well, so they have a football lineage with what they've done at the pro level. And, you know, we talk about his exploits at Alabama, right? You think about Bama receivers of late, whether it's Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs when he was at Alabama. You think about Jalen Waddle. You think about those guys who've gone Devontae Smith. He was like the eighth stringer behind those guys at Alabama, and he learned from the best and got better. And you saw during the season last year with him and Jameson Williams, both both those guys were phenomenal. And what made him so good, Mechie, was his route running to explode out of the blocks, coming out of his cuts on the in routes and going on the out routes and whatnot. I just thought he was a really good receiver coming out, and he would have been a first-round pick, Gabe, had he not tore up his ACL in the SEC title game against Georgia back in early December of 2021. So there's no doubt I think he could overcome this. He's in Houston, and Nick Saban made a great point that he's in Houston, which is a very good spot, known for its medical advancement. And I think he will hopefully be back with football field health permitting next year. And look, as you said before, thoughts and prayers are with him and his family during this tough time. And we all know that he'll overcome this and be a North Star for those who might be going through the same issue as he is as we speak.
Mo Khan joining us. I am Gabriel Moradzi. On a lighter note, Indianapolis Colts owner Jim Irsay pays $6 million for Muhammad Ali's WBC championship belt at an auction. He got the belt, $6 million. It's the belt from the Rumble in the Jungle. It's the belt from the Rumble in the Jungle victory over George Foreman in Zaire in 1974. I'll tell you what, Jim Irsay is acquiring quite the collection of memorabilia. Mo, I don't know if you know this, but he actually got Kurt Cobain's guitar as well.
The
guitar from the video, and I guess Smells Like Teen Spirit, and basically Kurt Cobain's main guitar. He has Kurt Cobain's main guitar. He's got Muhammad Ali's belt. He's got a lot of stuff going on, Jim Irsay, right now. And he's got a pretty good football team coming into this year, too.
He really does. You know, and you're right, Irsay does has an eye for great items, like classic items, like as you said before, with the late Kurt Cobain's guitar and whatnot.
I think, and here's other things, actually, Mo. Let me just say, throw it on. Other stuff that he has here. He has Pink Floyd, David Gilmour's black Stratocaster, $4 million he paid. He's got a drums kit from Ringo Starr, $2.2 million Beatles drummer Ringo Starr's drum kits. He's got documents written by America's founding fathers.
The Jackie Robinson baseball bat.
Yeah, he's got a Jackie Robinson baseball bat. He's got the Kurt Cobain guitar. And now he's got Muhammad Ali. But, you know, at least he loves this stuff, right? He's a sports a sports junkie. But, hey, man, I'm almost jealous, man. This guy could, you know, invite people over for a jam. It's like, you know, you're using Ringo Starr's drum kit, Pink Floyd's guitar, Kurt Cobain's guitar. You got Muhammad Ali's belt. You got Muhammad Ali's belt on the mantle. I don't know if they're going to get another Super Bowl on the mantle this year, but I think the Indianapolis Colts are a good football team, and I think Matt Ryan is set to I think Matt Ryan's going to be a perfect fit for them. What are your thoughts on the Colts? Who do you think wins that division, the Colts or the Titans?
Yeah, I think the AFC South is the Colts to lose. I think given how they were a complete bomb turd of whatever they were last year, losing to Jacksonville in week 17 when they had to win that matchup. You saw Irsay, right? He came out and he was very transparent that he was not happy with Carson Wentz and the fact that he flamed in that final 3 weeks of the season, given he had that COVID-19 issue as well. For them to acquire Matt Ryan now has a better O-line to work with. He's got better playmakers to work with. And look, Frank Wright, you know, as much as he's been lauded for what he's done, I don't think he's under the pressure now, but there's no doubt that he's been given the right tools to work with on offense, and that defense is underrated. Now, we look at Darius Leonard for where he is. Hopefully, he will be healthy coming to week one, but they do have a good team in place, Gabe, and that AFC South, I think Tennessee does take a step back for what they couldn't do with their current roster, and you look at the schedule, they can easily be 3-1, 4-1 by the time they hit October, so I think Indianapolis definitely will be in that conversation, and it's a question now for this quarterback play of Matt Ryan. Is he going to be the right guy for them? I think he will. And I think they can definitely win 11, if not 12 games this year.
The AFC South divisional odds right now. Indianapolis Colts are favored at minus 115, courtesy of FanDuel. Tampa, the Tennessee Titans are plus 160. Jacksonville Jags plus 750 and the Houston Texans are 25-1. So listen, it's a two-team race here. I don't think the Titans are going to be terrible suddenly. I think they're going to be, you know, I think they're kind of going to be the same, actually. And I'm intrigued by the Jacksonville Jaguars coming into this year, Mo. So let me get the Jacksonville Jaguar win total up for everybody here. It is 6.5. So it's shaded to the under at minus 135, but it's 6.5 for the Jaguars. And this is one of these addition through subtraction type of deals. Like, I honestly believe, Mo, that you and I would have done a better job than Urban Meyer. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I would have just delegated everything, right? If I was the coach, I would have been like, listen, let me see what you guys are doing here. All right. Like, honestly, like, it could not have been any worse. Like, Urban Meyer was in over his head. It was a train wreck from day one in camp, the way he treated the players to everybody. You know, just everything involved, to the point where you saw the Jacksonville Jaguar players guys basically got Meyer fired, right? Like, if you recall, we talked about it last year a lot. You guys remember, there was a media onslaught going on. Unnamed player here, unnamed player there. Then guys just started going on the local shows, right? Because they sort of, like, collectively said, listen, if we all rip them, what's he going to do, right? Like, let's just all start. Remember, like, all the stories started coming out?
Right.
About him kicking people in practice, and I don't give an F about this and that, and the names he was calling people. I guess, he was insulting the coaches. What was there? Was one line, actually, I did think was funny. He was a jerk, but it was funny. He said, oh, that's it. He goes, I had better effing assistants at Ohio State than you losers. He told them, like, he was abusive, man, to, like, everybody. And you can't win like that. You know what I mean? He was in over his head. Yeah. Now you get Doug Peterson, who's a calm, collected, you know, calm guy, who's, like, classy dude. And Trevor Lawrence is already loving it, right? He's basically, and the fact that Peterson was a quarterback, too, helps, right? And Trevor Lawrence was saying, you know what I mean? He's just sort of soaking everything up that Peterson's telling him. And he goes, it was a real shot at him. He goes, it's a real pleasure to be around somebody that understands football like he does.
Do you remember that play against the Rams at SoFi, where Urban Meyer had benched James Robinson Jr. and didn't tell him? He delegated to his running backs to tell him. And Trevor Lawrence was like, no, you're going to play him because we need him to win this football game. You know, like, it was just a complete, like, mess upon mess here. But I'll make this quick point here about the Jaguars, Gabe, right? Now you have James Robinson Jr. You have Travis Etienne Jr. in there as well, which I think can help Trevor Lawrence's development. But also that O-line. I'm intrigued by that O-line because Lawrence got killed a couple times, but it brought in Brandon Sheriff from Washington, which helped fortify the interior. And I think that spotlight will be on the receiving court because they did acquire Marvin Jones Jr. in the last couple of years. They did acquire Christian Kirk as well, and of course Zay Jones. But the one guy that I really like on the defense is the linebacker from Utah, Devin Lloyd. I think he can definitely make a difference in the middle of the heartbeat of that defense. And if he does, I think you're right, though. Jacksonville Jaguars will be much more competitive. Not sure they'll win 8-9, but I think they'll definitely win 5-6 quality games this year.
Hey, they beat the Bills last year. What a pathetic performance by the Buffalo Bills. That I can't believe that. Like, you know what I mean? They lost to the Bills. But I think the Jags are going in the right direction right now with Peterson. They do have a lot of talent, like you said, on the offensive side of the football. I think, as you stated, they're going to win 5-6 football games. But Trevor Lawrence is good. You know, like, the guys, like, it was easy. It was such a disaster and stuff for them. But some of the throws that he made, man, you're like, whoa. Like, basically, like, just 50-yard line drives. Like, basically, like fastballs. Like, there's no arc, just, like, bullets. This guy can throw bullets, man. If you give him time, he can throw bullets. Mo on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Don't ruin your appetites. I'm buying lunch for everybody on me.
Wow. What's the occasion?
I'm rich. I won my bets on the Rose Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, and I chunked it all on a hockey game, and I won that.
Hey, all right. How much did you win?
$116.
Quite a windfall. Yeah.
Yeah, I still feel tingly.
Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Great clip from the Marty Miller Show. But somebody in the chat asked me if I play online poker. No, I don't. I'm not not into poker. I do go to casinos, though. I do, obviously. I went to the casino last night, actually. And my new game, Mo Khan with us, TSN Radio's Mo Khan with us. My new game is Baccarat. I'm playing Baccarat now.
Really?
Yeah. I play blackjack. I used to play roulette. I like blackjack roulette. But lately, last two times I've gone to the casino. I don't go to the casino every day or anything like that, but I go on Saturday nights type of deal. Right. So I went last night, and I was playing. I lost $300. I put $300 on the table. I was up. I turned it into like $500 right away. I should have walked. I was like, man. But the thing is, it happened so fast, right? And I should have walked. Like, so I went in. I put $300 in, and I had $500 right away. And I was like, man, I'm already up $200. I should probably just step away right now. But of course, I didn't, right? And and then I lost it. I sort of got reckless. I put like I think I put $200 or $250 on one play. So I put a nice chunk. That's it. When I got it to $500, I said, all right, let me try to really turn this into a dime now. So I went big. And I lost it right away. I was like, boom, boom, lost. I was like, ugh. So instead of getting freaked out, I just sort of casually got up. I went over to the bar. I got a drink. And then I decided to go for one more round, except I went into the high roller room this time because it was empty, and I sat down, and I turned $200 into $1,000 in like 15, 20 minutes. I turned $200 into a dime last night, but don't forget, I lost the original three. Right, so in other words, I won like $500 because I put the $300 down at one table. I lost it all. Then I went back into another room. I went into the other table, into the high roller one, where it was $100 hand minimum, and I think I put $200 on the table there. And I just started. I got on a little bit of a roll, and I walked. Once I looked, I was like, all right, I'm at $1,000 now. Let me get out of here before I lose this again the second time. Right. So I'm enjoying the back.
You can buy a lot of NFL, the new black NFL helmets. I know you're a big NFL helmet guy, Gabe, right? So that money you've earned, you can buy all those new alternate helmets that came out, with the Cardinals, the Bears with their orange helmets, and the Bengals' white helmet as well. That's coming out this season for the NFL campaign.
And my Josh Allen helmet was like $800. It was one Josh Allen side helmet. all right, let's get into the NFL player props and the season awards here. All right, so MVP. The favorite right now to be the MVP is Josh Allen. 7-1. Patrick Mahomes is the second choice at 8-1. Tom Brady, also 8-1. Justin Herbert, 9-1. Aaron Rodgers, 10-1. Dak Prescott, 12-1. Joe Burrow, 12-1. Russell Wilson, 14-1. Matthew Stafford, 14-1. Kyler Murray, 20-1. Lamar Jackson, 20-1. Derek Carr, 25-1. I know, Mo, you're high on the Chargers coming into this year. So I'm wondering if Justin Herbert is your guy to win the MVP. What are your thoughts on these MVP odds, and who do you like to win the MVP?
You're warm, Gabe, but if you go down the hallway, I think Matthew Stafford's the guy that I'm intrigued by. I think
Matthew Stafford. Wow.
Yeah, those odds. I think if you're someone that
14-1,
you know, 14-1 odds. I think that's a pretty solid number to have, because you think about his run, Gabe. Right, we spoke about it last fall. In his first half of the Rams campaign, he was phenomenal. The second half was completely awful in what he couldn't do. In the playoffs, he turned it on and became a really good quarterback. He's got momentum now, Gabe, right? He's got Cooper Kupp back in the fold, no Odell Beckham, but they did bring in Allen Robinson.
Robinson, right.
And I think the running game now with Cam Akers, who was a really good pass catcher out of the backfield, I think that will help enhance his numbers as a quarterback thrower. And I think with what they've built up here, being in L.A., we know how it is in L.A., Gabe, you know very well, being there yourself once upon a time. That market will definitely help out Matt Stafford. So I'm going to give Matt Stafford my vote as of now as my third to win the NFL MVP.
You know what? I want to go with a longer shot here. I'm not saying he's going to win, but I think He's got a chip on his shoulder. I think he's a better quarterback than people give him credit for. And now he has a legitimate superstar to throw the football to. And, oh, yeah, he has a personal and an on- and off-the-field connection with Devontae Adams being together at Fresno State. And that's Derek Carr. Derek Carr, 25-1. I think, listen, everyone talks about this division. Everybody talks about Mahomes. Everybody's, oh, Herbert this, Chargers that, Russell Wilson this, Denver that. The Raiders were the ones that made the playoffs last year. And let's not forget, the Raiders were like on the 6 or 8 yard line or something against the Bengals, bro, at the end of that game. The Raiders were throwing the football into the end zone looking for a win. Like, they nearly knocked the Bengals off, all right? And they were a beat-up football team, not to mention all the adversity that they went through last year. The Raiders showed me a lot last year. They are in a very tough division, obviously, but I think the Raiders are better than people give them credit for. I think Derek Carr is better than people give them credit for. But so for me, 25-1, you know, I think it's worth a little play there. But I do think that the media loves Herbert. And the media loves, like, the high-flying teams. As you stated, they're in L.A. The Rams had their run. I think the media will like to boost Herbert if he plays well. So, you know, I think, but I don't know if they're going to be good enough. But I think Herbert will put massive numbers up. What about Josh Allen to win? I got to tell you, as a Bills fan, I don't want Josh Allen to win the MVP. So it's a kind of a catch-22. I want him to play great, but I don't want him to win the MVP.
Right.
Quarterbacks that win the MVP never win the Super Bowl, Mo. Ever. Like, I'll get you the number here. Yeah. It's off the top of my head. Yeah, guys. It's like, it's a kiss of death. It is. It's the kiss of death. Like, look at the MVPs. Cam Newton won the MVP, lost the Super Bowl. Like, I could go on and on. Guys always win the MVP, and then they lose the Super Bowl all the time after. There is something to it. So just, I don't want it to be Josh Allen, but I don't know if the Chargers are going to be good enough. I'm not buying in that the Chargers are going to be as good as you think they are and everyone thinks they're going to be. But they are good. Well, they are good, yeah. So he's going to put big numbers up. So if not Stafford, I'll give you another choice. Who's another guy, too? So give me two guys, Stafford and someone else.
Well, you know, just quickly with Herbert, there's a lot of pressure from Brandon Staley, the head coach, right? If they flame out with Staley and underachieve, they're going to bring in Sean Payton next year and be the head coach of that team, right? They want to equal the LA Rams for what they did last year, and if they don't see with Staley, they're going to go rock star hire here to bring that up. But if you look at it right now from the NFL MVP odds here, I'm intrigued by Patrick Mahomes because now you don't have Tyreek Hill. So people are saying, well, Tyreek Hill covered a lot of mistakes from Mahomes and made him what he is and should get the real credit. So now Mahomes has more depth to work with. And I think it's going to be fascinating to see what he does because, again, Gabe, we talked about Kansas City. They choked that game. And NFL Network had that game re-aired, I think, 10 days ago. They had a 3-score lead against the Bengals and lost that football game at home. So I think Mahomes does have a chip on his shoulder. So I'll be intrigued to see what he does early on here. If he puts up video game numbers and continues to excel, I think Mahomes might have a chance to be in that conversation by the time we talk about this award in early January.
You know who I'm going to pick here? And this is the first time, guys. Like, you know, sort of like our best and worst record and all that. We like to sort of, you know, kick the, you know, we're going to discuss it with different people throughout the week. This is our first MVP real discussion. But so it's talking Derek Carr, 25-1, sort of a long shot. A guy here, Mo, that another, you know, I don't know if we're talking about him enough coming into this year. For what he accomplished last year, and I think it continues, and I think that his team is going to win a division and they're going to have a good season again, is Joe Burrow. Would it shock you if the Cincinnati Bengals won 14 games this year? It wouldn't shock me.
It would shock me, Gabe.
You think they're going to regress the Bengals? I think they're going to get better.
I think the Bengals will be fine. I think the O-line was the biggest sore eye for them, and they improved on that. I think that's going to be okay for them. But I'm curious to see that schedule because you open up with Pittsburgh, you're at Dallas.
That's a win.
Beat the Jets. Dallas may not it'd be much more trickier. It's the Cowboys, right? We know how they
No, I'm
are.
Saying the Steelers. I think they'll beat the Steelers in week one.
It's a home game, right? And the thing is, though, after the Jets, you know, Miami, we'll see at Baltimore, at New Orleans, Falcons should be a win at Cleveland.
Hey, listen, Mo, let's just be real, bro. Everybody in the AFC's got a tough schedule. You know what I mean?
But look at their bye week, though, Gabe. You go to Pittsburgh, you go to Tennessee, Kansas City, Cleveland, Tampa, at New England, Buffalo at home, and then Baltimore to wrap up. that's not an easy schedule, Gabe. And what I want to see from them is it going to be Joe Burrow, but the running game. Joe Mixon is a fantastic running back out there, but can he carry the load if need be? They have a much improved O-line, and I think what they want to do is establish that running game more often than before so they avoid Burrow not being that. And let's not forget, they lost their tight end to the Jets in free agency, so more of the spotlight will be on Ja'Marr Chase, who is a fabulous receiver. You talk about Boyd, you talk about those guys in that, T. Higgins included. They're a great tripod of pass catchers, but I want to see how they can do with that running game to help Joe Burrow improve as a quarterback going into year three.
It's amazing how quarterback heavy the MVP odds are. It's all quarterbacks. Who's the first non-quarterback?
Taylor.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor at 60-1.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Yeah. Mac Jones at 40-1. Come on. Like, Mac Jones is not going to win the MVP, all right?
Gabe, just 15 years ago, you think about it, right? Sean Alexander was the NFL MVP candidate, right? That era of running backs is no longer there. It's archaic. And Jonathan Taylor might put up big numbers because, as you said before, with Indianapolis, they have a really good O-line and Matt Ryan out there. So I think Jonathan Taylor could have himself a monster year of maybe 15, if not 20 touchdowns for the Indianapolis Colts.
All right, so there's also the AP NFL Offensive Player of the Year. Jonathan Taylor's actually favored for this one. That's interesting. So, you know, they don't vote for the quarterback for the offensive player of the year. Jonathan Taylor 10-1. Cooper Kupp is 14-1. Debo Samuel is 16-1. Derrick Henry 16-1. Justin Jefferson 20-1. Nick Chubb 20-1. What do you think about the NFL Offensive Player of the Year award here?
I'm intrigued by Nick Chubb because of Deshaun Watson. If there's no Deshaun Watson, Nick Chubb could be the guy for the Browns. And if you look at the stats last year, when Nick Chubb ran for 100-plus yards, the Browns, I think, were like 5-1 or 6-0 during that run. So he definitely has an influence on that Browns offense. And I would imagine with Deshaun Watson, I think that call, that suspension will be announced sooner, I think, in the next couple of days, Gabe, of what he will have going to the new NFL season. So if he's gone for half a year, who knows, 12 games, 14 games, whatever it is, Nick Chubb becomes that bell cow for the Browns. I think he can carry the load. I don't know if you saw that video of Nick Chubb squatting like 600 pounds plus on the squat bar that was bending on his back. He's locked in, Gabe, and I love his running style. That could definitely pay off the Browns into the colder months of their calendar year going towards playoff football perhaps in January.
Mo Khan, kick it with just for a couple of more moments. Sunday, Bloody Sunday. This is Sports Rage. We've got some baseball talk coming up in Level 2, more NFL future talk in Level 3 in the third hour of the program with Ian Cameron as well. Fascinating to look at these numbers right now. A lot of value on the board. We'll hit the Defensive Player of the Year as well. Miles Garrett, 7-1. T.J. Watt, 8-1. Aaron Donald, 9-1. Micah Parsons, 10-1. Late Night Anchorman, request continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're 46 days away from kickoff right now. 45 if you're on the East Coast. It's the in-between right now. 46 days away. For those of us on the West Coast, it hasn't hit midnight yet, but in the overnight hours right now, that's the Buffalo Bills and the Los Angeles Rams. Mo, you want to talk about a big-time season opener, man. Rams Super Bowl banner night. Buffalo Bills are the Super Bowl favorites. Worlds are colliding. It's going to be, man, I can't wait for that football game. So Mo Khan high on Matthew Stafford this year. So you think the Rams, there's two ways you can look at this, Mo, with Stafford.
Yeah.
One, he doesn't have any pressure on him anymore, right? There was a lot of pressure on him, right? I mean, you know, say what you will about Jared Goff, but they did go to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff. So he gets them to the Super Bowl. They win the Super Bowl. But so now you can say, well, you know, now he can just be comfortable and he doesn't have to worry about anything and getting ripped. And, you know, he's got a ring now. But at the same point in time, as you stated, man, there were a lot of shaky moments. There were shaky moments in the playoffs. There were shaky moments in the Super Bowl. you know, he can be really good, but then there's also, it seems like he's always just a play away from disaster as well, bro. You know what I mean? So I don't know about Stafford. Like I said, maybe he lights it up this year or maybe he regresses. I really don't know, but you think he lights it up?
I really do. And again, we talk about the offensive tools to have, right? Cam Akers, Darrell Henderson Jr. You talk about Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson. Also, Van Jefferson, who they think will take a step up coming into year number two as the receiver for the Rams. Tyler Higbee is a guy to watch out for. But I'll be curious to know what their O-line gave, because there was one weak spot this Rams team was the interior O-line. If I mentioned this to you multiple times last year, they got exposed. If they fortify that, I think it's Stafford that chance to make some noise early on with this office that they've built up under his watch.
Mo Khan, excellent. Love talking football. Mo, great insight, as always. Quick pick, Alouettes, Ticats, Thursday night. There's no point spread out yet. Who wins?
Hamilton does.
Whoa! Ticats. No hesitation. No hesitation for Mo. Always a pleasure, my man. The Late Night Anger Match Request continues. Bring it.
Take care, my G.